you were appointed. We thank you very much for your accepting the appointment and your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Arcee, too? Okay, next case for argument is Washington versus LaPorte County Jail. Mr. Pagos?
Pleases the court counsel, my privilege to represent Fred Washington. Some people believe in an eye for an eye, and some people believe in turning the other cheek. Mr. Washington turned the other cheek, and he still lost an eye. Mr. Washington was a pretrial detainee in the LaPorte County, Indiana jail.
Kind of a garble, because of course if you do turn your cheek, rather than retaliate, you are quite likely to lose an eye, aren't you? Weakness of turning the cheek is a... But anyway, what I understand about your case, why is it you think that an alternative method of assigning bunks would make it less likely that he would be attacked? His problem was that he wasn't a member of a gang.
His problem was the inmate...
So if the authorities had given him a bunk, these other people would have been more furious at him.
They would have thought
he was a pet of the prison.
If the authorities had assigned Mr. Washington a bunk, then the gang members would not have been able to evict Mr. Washington from his bunk.
Why not?
Well, because the next time the guards made their rounds, they would see that Mr. Washington wasn't in his bunk.
Well, and they'd ask him why, and he'd say, well, he decided to move.
Well, you can't. If you're assigned a bunk, if the jail assigns you your bunk or even your place on the floor, you can't just move on your own. So Mr. Washington would not have had to suffer retaliation because he ratted on the other people for kicking him out. The jail guards at lockdown time, which they don't have, but if they had lockdown time, they would see that Mr. Washington wasn't in his bunk.
So.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
They don't. Anyway, their staff is too small. They can't, they don't have, that's the real problem, isn't it? Inadequate prison staff?
That is the real problem, but our expert testified, and it's common sense, that had there been a simple assignment policy, this particular assault would not have occurred because of this particular reason. And true, prisons are dangerous places, jails are dangerous places, people get in fights all the time for different reasons. Even if they had an assignment policy, there could have been a fight, but that's not our case.
I don't see, though, how you get over the how you deal with the fact that the Supreme Court says there has to be knowledge of the danger, not just negligence. This seems at most a negligence case.
The Supreme Court also says, Your Honor, that they can't be deliberately indifferent.
No, that's what I mean. That's
or they can't.
I mean, you have to know the officials have to know there, or the guards have to know there's a danger, and then they have to refuse to take what would be feasible steps to prevent it.
Judge, in the Farmer versus Brennan Supreme Court case, they said we can prove deliberate indifference or intentional conduct in the normal ways that any kind of case is proven.
My paraphrase was correct. The defendants have to know. Now, it's true, you can infer that from the circumstance, but they have to know there's a serious danger. And they have to refuse to take what would be clearly feasible steps to prevent it. Now, what's the evidence here that these people, that you know, the defendants knew that this person was in danger, or that this method of assigning bunks created an acute danger of serious injury?
Judge, the Supreme Court said sometimes...
You keep saying the Supreme Court. What is the evidence?
The evidence can be so obvious.
What is the evidence?
That there was not an assignment policy.
Yes, I know, but why is that? Why is it obvious that having that...
Because anytime you let the inmates control the asylum, you have a problem.
But here's the problem. What specific incidents
could your expert refer to? I mean, let's give you that, that it was a bad policy that the inmates get to pick where they get to sleep. Were there any specific, I mean, how long had this policy gone on? Is that clear from the record?
It's not clear from the record, but it exists till today.
Right. So we can assume probably that it had existed for some time. Now, if you had a situation where other inmates had been, you know, attacked or there were problems relating to being kicked out of the bunk or whatever, you know, you would be in a stronger position. But here it's just the general conclusion of your expert that the fact that they can choose the bunk they're going to sleep in that created this problem, you're just saying just generally it's not a good policy and you need something more specific. And your expert didn't have anything more specific, did he, in terms of specific incidents?
I understand the expert made the conclusion, but the specific evidence came from Mr. Washington himself, and that this is why I was assaulted. Judge Miller looked at our case as sort of an overcrowding claim, and that in an overcrowding case, tensions are high, people's nerves are raw, and maybe a fight might happen when it wouldn't normally happen. And he said in that type of case, your injury is too attenuated. And then he used that same analysis to apply to us. He said, in fact, he conceded that this was a policy that had the force of law. He didn't condone it. Mr. Washington's injuries are uncontroverted, but he said our connection, our proximate cause, if you will, was too attenuated.
Well, I can give you that it's not too attenuated, but if it's not too attenuated, then it equals negligence. And then you still have to get... You have to get to the deliberate indifference. I can give you negligence, okay, but the problem is trying to get to deliberate indifference, how you show actual knowledge on the part of the people at the prison beyond just the general, this is not a good thing to do.
If you can give me that it's not too attenuated, then you have to send me back to court and reverse the summary judgment, because that's what Judge Miller granted it on. He didn't grant it on that I couldn't prove deliberate indifference. He granted it on that the proximate cause was too attenuated.
It doesn't matter, because our review is de novo. You didn't respond to Judge Williams' question. Had there been previous incidents that had put these guards, the defendants, on notice that there was a danger?
There's nothing in the record. Mm-hmm. But sometimes a thing can be so obvious that common sense tells you it's wrong.
And see, the problem is you don't have a Supreme Court case that says that common sense is enough.
But I do.
Particularly in a prison situation, I mean, even if you don't have this exact situation, you don't have a case that's even close to this, where the Supreme Court has said common sense is enough for deliberate indifference, do you?
I think Farmer says the trier of fact can base that decision on the obviousness of the risk. Some things are just so obvious we know they're wrong without an expert or without past. And if all the meeks just accepted their assignment in the cell block or they paid their rent to live in which bunk they wanted to live in, there wasn't going to be no problem. So just because there had not been an injury prior to Mr. Washington doesn't mean that this whole system was just fine because the jail was...
Well, no one says the system is fine. That's not the argument.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pagos. Mr. Friedman?
Good morning. May it please the court. Shaw Friedman, a law firm of Friedman Associates. We represent the LaPorte County defendants, also with me at the council table, Jail Hour of South Bend. The words of Duckworth versus Franzen, written in 1985, ring as true today as they did then. Actual knowledge of impending harm, easily preventable, so that a conscious, culpable refusal to prevent the harm can be inferred from defendant's failure to prevent it. There is nothing in the record on any portion of the plaintiff seeking to raise with prison or jail authorities concern about a risk. In fact, he was in that particular cell from September 1st through September 13th. At no time, the record indicates, did he indicate any concern about his fellow inmate, Carl Hood. the forced removal of items from the cell around 8 o'clock on September 13, 1998. His first occasion that night to raise with jail authorities concern about his safety, didn't do it. The initial fight, the record reflects, everything was straight. The two shook hands around 8 or 8:30 that night. He went to call his mother around 10 to 10:15 with the fight occurring, the major fight shortly thereafter, again, even around the time of the call to his mother. No alerting of jail officials.
Has Hood been prosecuted for this assault?
I believe there was a review of the circumstances, and I cannot indicate that there was prosecution of Carl Hood. I can indicate to you that Mr. Washington was admitted to LaPorte Hospital within 30 minutes of this altercation. As Judge Miller indicates, this was not a case of deliberate indifference. It was a case of deliberate care. As Mr. Pegas indicates, jails are certainly inherently dangerous places, but the LaPorte County authorities, as indicated in the record, moved expeditiously once the altercation was brought to their attention. And I would indicate it was not Mr. Washington who brought the altercation, but yet another inmate who did so.
How long has the jail been overcrowded, and how long has this non-assignment policy been in place?
We have a non-assignment of specific bunks, but as the record indicates, there is a classification system of maximum, medium, and minimum security. The record's also clear that Mr. Washington was only put in with other traffic violators, misdemeanants. There is no one in the record, nothing in the record to indicate that he was put in with any serious offender. There's nothing in the record to indicate Mr. Hood presented a serious threat. Also a traffic violation he was arrested on. There was nothing to indicate.
But were these people known to be gang members?
No. There's no indication in the record. He didn't bring it to anyone's attention, and there's nothing that indicates at the time of intake that they were gang members. There is no indication, again, that any of the other inmates posed a risk or a threat to Mr. Washington. I think the record is clear. Had there even been a call?
What's the county seat of LaPorte County?
It's LaPorte, Indiana.
Hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, and we are, in fact, in the process of a full jail renovation and expansion at this very moment. We have a $21 million renovation expansion currently occurring of the LaPorte County Jail, which will enhance, obviously, our ability to properly care for detainees and be well beyond the numbers that we're currently holding in that.
How long has the non-assignment policy been in place?
It appears that there's nothing in the record to indicate that a non-assignment of bunks was, that there was a particular trigger point. We do know and can say with certainty that there is a three-tier classification system that has been in since 1977, since the jail first opened. The cases, and again, counsel comes before this court seeking really to turn a long line of cases that the circuit has dealt with on its head. Certainly, even had there been, in the absence of a particular knowledge, then to be able to substantially infer a danger of violence still has to be predicated upon something. Some sort of study of the jail, some sort of predictor of violence in that particular cell block, even a statistical study indicating that there is some predilection toward violence in that particular cell block or because of the problem of non-assignment of bunks. Again, I would submit that the record is devoid of that. Judge Miller found that, and I think Judge Miller also rightly made the observation that the expert jump to conclusions in terms of establishing causation. I don't think there's anything in the record to indicate that, and as a result, we believe the record is clear that, as Judge Miller put it, there was deliberate care exercised in this case as opposed to deliberate indifference.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Freeman. Mr. Pagos, how much time does he have? 2 minutes.
On page 11 of Judge Miller's order granting the defendant's motion for summary judgment, he states, without more, the mere non-assignment of bunks, like overcrowding, is far too attenuated a cause of Mr. Washington's injury for his claim to survive. Judge Miller had no problem with deliberate indifference. He's saying I couldn't make the jump from the non-assignment policy to the injury.
Yeah, well, he didn't have to get to deliberate indifference because he shut you down before you
exactly.
got to that.
Exactly.
So, but that doesn't mean that we can't look at that question on review, does it?
And that's why I'm saying there are some things that are just so obvious that they're wrong. Even in civilized society, you can't go in a restaurant and pick your own table.
Yeah, but if you had a situation where you had your violent inmates mixed up with people at your client level, I mean, that would be an obvious situation where you had people with a violent history, you mix them up with people with a nonviolent history, then you might have something going for you, because the violent people obviously have a record of violence. It's obviously known when they come into the jail and they get their qualifications or they get categorized. Then that might be a situation where it's so obvious that there would be a problem, but you don't have that situation.
I don't think you need to go that far. Whether you're assigning them based on whether they're a murderer or a parking violation, if you have this system that allows the inmates to control who sleeps where, you're going to have chaos, just like I said, in a restaurant, unless it's a McDonald's.
There are a lot of restaurants in which you just go in and sit down without being led to your table by a maitre d'. You obviously just go to fancy restaurants.
But Judge, you don't want your jail run like a McDonald's. You want your jail.
Well, I should think jail run like a McDonald's would be a model jail, actually.
He's a strong McDonald's fan, so be careful. He's never eaten a meal in one in his life, but go ahead.
Not true.
Really?
A canard.
But that, I think the trier of fact should...
I have a question for you, though, a serious question. Did you consider just filing an ordinary negligence complaint?
Judge, by the time...
Did you do that under Indiana law?
I could have, Your Honor. By the time the case got to me, Indiana's statutory notice of tort claim had expired.
Hmm.
So we were deprived of that opportunity. But
thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Next case for argument, Moreland versus